Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The veteran route. Oh, it's a fake punt. Anger throws the ball out to Wanye Thomas, and he caught the ball, but short of the first down.
Wow.
Oh, the fake punt. The second fake punt in 3 weeks that the Cowboys have done. And the second time that they let Brian Anger throw the ball, and one was a floater that was nearly picked, and this one was a floater that was short of the sticks, and the Cowboys lose 34-10 to Houston. I'm RJ Choppy. He's Bobby Belt, Chris Strong, and Caitlin here as well. Jerry Jones coming up in 30 minutes.
Doesn't it feel like, I feel like the Cowboys and Bones Fossil approach the fake punt the way Brian Fantana approaches his cologne Sex Panther in the movie Anchorman, where it just seems like they've got the idea of 60% of the time, it works every time. And so they're comfortable with that. It's not even 60%, though. It's more like 15% of the time it works every time.
It's not. It doesn't work at all.
It doesn't work very often. I'll tell you what. It doesn't work when C.J. Goodwin looks like he doesn't know the play's coming.
Right.
And then it definitely doesn't work when you throw the ball short of the first down marker by like 6 yards.
Listen, I don't care. Look, I would not have done the fake punt if you're gonna fake it. If you're gonna run a play, not fake it. If you're gonna run a play and go for it on fourth down, just go for it. Use your offense. Get your offense out there. They actually have a chance. I get the element of surprise on the fake. I like when they would. I would prefer on like the one that I did in Atlanta. I would prefer to just snap it directly to one of the two or three guys that are right behind the line of scrimmage, right? You know, snap it directly, do a direct snap and let them run it, as opposed to snapping it all the way to Anger, let him throw it. It's clear he can't throw. I think he's a lefty. I think he doesn't know that he actually throws left-handed. That's how weak that throw was yesterday. I don't know what that was, but I think he actually should throw the ball left-handed.
I don't blame Brian Anger. Brian Anger's job
is him.
His job is to use his leg. He's not supposed to be out there working on his arm strength.
Absolutely.
Or his spin rate.
But nobody in practice, when they were practicing this play, my assumption is that they did not work on this play one time.
No, my assumption is they worked on it against air. And they're like, this worked on air. Surely it'll work in this game, right?
Well, yeah, but even if it was against air, okay, even if it was against air, you still see him throw the ball. And my assumption is they practice this play more than one time. Even if you think this is the dumbest coaching staff in the history of sports, they practice it at least five times. There's no way that they practiced it that many times and nobody said, guys, this guy can't throw. Right? He floats it out there. Hey, Brian, put a little zip on that ball, man. There's no way. Even if you hate Mike McCarthy, he's a quarterback guy. He knows what to throw. He knows what a quarterback looks like. And I'm not saying
he's playing Cooper Rush.
Well, that's fair. But you get the point I'm saying, right?
Let's be honest. The way you just described Brian Anger, if I said this is you describing Cooper Rush, it would sound similar.
Yeah, maybe he's seeing Cooper Rush throw and he's like, oh, that looks totally normal.
He's like, it's like why did Cooper have a punter?
Why? Yes, let's just drop Cooper and let Anger play the whole time. So that to me was the biggest sticking point. It's like, dude, you saw that. You saw him throw. Nobody told him to put more zip on it. Or nobody thought, oh, this is fine. This is fine how he throws that ball. By the way, 8 yards short of the sticks. Just like they had like a 3rd and 16. Oh, yeah, let's just throw 8 yards short of the sticks. Why?
No, it's maddening. It's frustrating. You feel like you're already so limited in so many ways due to injuries and everything else that's impacting your team right now. Why limit yourselves even more in play design? Yeah. Like in play design, you're not giving your guys a shot.
And I'll tell you another thing that really chapped my ass in this game, okay?
You know what grinds my gears?
You know what grinds my gears? 4th and 20, 11 minutes left. Now you're not getting the first down, okay? But I guarantee you with 11 minutes left, down 17, you have a better chance of picking up 4th and 20 by a pass or a defensive penalty.
Sure.
Than you do by punting it away with 11 minutes to go and then scoring 3 times. So, yeah. What do you have to lose?
This is a note that I just saw 38 seconds ago from Todd Archer. The Cowboys have 5 touchdowns in 5 home games. They scored 5 or more touchdowns in 3 home games last year.
They have 5 touchdowns in 5 home games?
Yeah.
How many touchdowns did the Lions score here?
That's a good question. I need to look that up. It may have been 5. Because they scored 47. So if the Lions equaled you in 1 home game, that's going to be pretty bad. I'm going to open it up right now.
That's unbelievable.
The Detroit Lions scored 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 touchdowns. Yeah.
And New Orleans?
New Orleans would have been 4, I think, is what they were. Because they put up 44. There were a lot of field goals in that game from New Orleans. New Orleans had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So
New Orleans had 6.
Yeah, never mind. They scored 6. So.
That's unbelievable.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
It is disgustingly.
Oh my gosh.
Unreal. 5 touchdowns for the Lions, 6 for New Orleans, and the Cowboys have scored 5 touchdowns total in 5 home
Dallas
games.
Dallas is 3rd in their own stadium in touchdowns this year.
Oh. every sports franchise in the world has won a home game in 2024 except for the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm about to tweet this back to Archer. I'm going to say New Orleans leads all NFL teams including the Cowboys in touchdowns scored at AT&T Stadium.
No, but seriously, every professional American sports franchise has won a home game in 2024.
That's
in
awful.
Calendar year, except the Dallas Cowboys.
It's awful.
That is unreal. But that's the state of things. By the way, I tease this. You know, we're stuck with Cowboys-Bengals on Monday night in a couple of weeks.
Are we?
Yes.
Why?
They can't flex out of it. Do you know why they can't flex out of it?
Why?
Because that's going to be a Simpsons alternate cast.
Okay, I saw this. Is this real? Is that why?
That's
I saw
the story
it was a tweet, and I saw somebody tweeted it, and they looked like they were, but I couldn't tell if they were just being sarcastic. They did not look like they were clearing it up. They looked like this was a legitimate reason.
This is from, so let's see, what I saw. It's a real, it's the Bengals beat writer for SI.
That sounds legitimate.
Now, granted, That's basically the Mike Fisher of Cincinnati, so do with that what you will.
Gentlemen.
He also is an Arby's super fan, so whatever. But he did post this yesterday on Twitter, or actually, we're going to call it, Bengals Cowboys Monday Night Football is not eligibly flexed out because of all the drawings, video, voiceovers, and other work that has been done for the Simpsons alternate cast that will air that night.
Yeah, I mean, Awful Announcing has the story up. Nobody's debunking this, so wow.
So we're stuck. Bengals Cows on an upcoming Monday night because they've already put too much work into the Simpsons alternate cast.
Stank ass.
That is so bad. And yeah, Florio even wrote about it.
Yeah.
That's a real reason. All right.
Okay, we got Jerry Jones coming up in 20 minutes. Let's take some phone calls here next. 877-881-1053. What should we ask Jerry? What do you want us to? Or let's, you know what? How about you just give your message to Jerry Jones before he comes on? 877-881-1053. It's Sean and RJ. Sean is out. Bobby obviously is here because he always is, even though we keep his...
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, it's a bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Name off the show. It's all coming up next on the...
And on first and 10 from the 50, here's a handoff to Mixon up the middle, cuts left, he's to the 20, he's to the 10. Mixon will take this one to the house, and Houston, without hardly breaking a sweat, has taken the lead. 45 yards for Joe Mixon.
And it was basically over, even though there was 59 minutes left in the game. It was already, we already saw the writing on the wall. Jerry Jones coming up 12 minutes from now at 8:30. I'm RJ Choppy. He's Bobby Belt. Sean and RJ on the Fan.
Are you about to identify yourself as Sean?
No, I don't know what I was going to do there. Honestly.
Sean is out today. He's got a kiddo's medical appointment today.
Yes, he does. So let's go to the people here before we get to Jerry. We're going to want to find out what they want to say to him.
Yes.
Your message to Jerry Jones, 877.
Get it ready.
105.
FCC friendly, please.
Get it ready. Matt in Arlington. Matt, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's up?
Hey, my message to Jerry Jones is please, for the love of God, man, just sell the team. You can sell it to Bill Gates and let him, you know, make water fountains and Eyes Wide Shut parties out of it. I don't care anymore. Just please, for the love of God, sell the team, man. You know when Al Davis got old and all he would do is draft like a crazy fast guy and be like, oh, that's the guy who's going to change the franchise. Jerry is like a step and a half away from that. You know what I'm saying?
Darius Hayward Bay.
Yeah, dude. Just that guy needs to sell the team, man. I've got the star tattooed on my arm, man. And I love the Cowboys. I just need Jerry to I need Jerry to go, man.
Man, look. I hear you. But you know what ain't gonna happen.
No, it's not.
It's not gonna happen.
No. And look, I don't think Jerry's a bad owner. I don't think, contrary to popular belief, I don't think the way Jerry has the organization structured now as a GM who builds consensus and implements that, I don't think that's a bad structure either. I just think they had a bad offseason, and I think they've erred in not letting this coach go, I think is the biggest problem.
You mean like during the season?
I think made an error in not letting him go each of the last two offseasons. Now, to me, it's just about, you need to do something.
You're not going to fire a coach of a 12-5 year. Is that
you can teams, do that. That happens. That's happened.
When?
You've seen coaches who've been fired for just consistently falling short in the playoffs. That's occurred for
the
people.
The second year, though, they made the second round. They made it to the divisional round. You weren't going to do it.
The Green Bay loss, he absolutely should have been.
Green Bay loss, a different story.
That was a preparation issue.
I understand the Green Bay loss. But you weren't going to do it the year before after you make the divisional round, you lose to San Fran. Especially when the quarterback was the reason you lost that game.
go to your next call.
Alex in Fort Worth, what's up, man? How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Thank y'all so much for having me. First time on here. So, message to Jerry Jones. I was born in 98. I'm only 26 years old. But from the time that I've seen the Cowboys to now, Jerry Jones has to be the worst GM in NFL history. Let me explain. He has all the capabilities and the resources to make this team what it's supposed to be. He has everything. It's not Carolina. It's not any other team in the NFL. It's Dallas Cowboys. He's always had the resources to do it. But instead, he promotes marketing. If he wants to do marketing, let him do marketing. Jerry, please bring in a GM that can make this team into what it was in the 90s. And also a question that y'all could ask him. Why didn't we want Dan Quinn to be the head coach here? Thank y'all so much.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it. I think it just didn't match up timing-wise. If McCarthy's contract would have expired at the end of last year, he probably does make Dan Quinn head coach.
I think you're right. Jerry's not. I mean, my opinion is Jerry would not pay a coach to sit on a beach. You know, if you're under contract, you're going to finish your contract. Yeah, that's just my opinion. You're going to finish the contract.
Yeah, I think it's I'm not going to buy you out to do nothing. If you're getting paid, you're gonna give me return for that. You're not just going to go
right.
Live high off the hog.
That's a businessman's perspective on it. That's been far more successful in business than I will. So I'm not going to argue with his belief there. Other owners don't feel that same way. There's plenty of owners out there that are paying money. Go look at a college.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what Jerry go. You know, Jerry's a big Arkansas guy. I don't know what Sam Pittman's contract looks like, but he ain't going to be there next year. And if he's got money left in his deal, they're going to buy him out. It's the way it is, right? Yeah. That's kind of what you do, and that's where you sit on it. So, it's not going to happen. I don't see it.
Probably not.
I don't see Jerry moving on from Mike until the year.
Which Jerry has said repeatedly. So that's his answer. Yeah. So.
All right. Jerry Jones coming up next year on 105 The Fan. We got a lot to get to on this. I don't know if we're going to have enough time to do the entire Jerry. We may keep Jerry for the whole hour. Who knows? All right. Jerry Jones coming up next on The Fan. Good morning, DFW. It is Sean and RJ here on 105 Three The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. We are about to be joined by the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones.
Owner and general manager.
And general manager. That's right. Owner Jones, GM Jerry. Here on 105.3 The Fan. After the Cowboys lose 34-10 last night, the Cincinnati Bengals at AT&T Stadium. A game in which they were, I mean, they had a, there was a moment in there where it almost got away from them early. They pulled close, and then it got away from them again late.
Yeah, I mean, it's the sack fumble and the Guyton fumble. That was kind of where things got put away for you. It was a game that coming out of halftime, you felt like they might have an opportunity to win the game. And it kind of snowballed in that fourth quarter a little bit. But, I mean, Joe Mixon was a handful for them last night. And
he's good.
They had a lot of, execution stuff and communication issues. And that was a big part of that. Last night, McCarthy was asked about effort. He said, our problem isn't effort. It's not ever during the week. I haven't seen that. We're not making critical plays. I'm disappointed. I'm frustrated for our guys because I know how much they put into this. We just got to keep banging away here. And so it sounds like it's head down, keep plowing ahead, and that they feel like it's just an execution thing rather than an effort thing. And I'll be honest, I don't know about you. I didn't see effort issue last night.
I didn't either. I don't think they effort quit on Mike. I think they may have discipline quit on Mike. You know what I mean? Like they tune him out. Like the attention to detail just isn't there. I don't think the team has is giving no effort. You could tell. You could tell real easy when a football team is giving no effort. Just go watch a bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, when you watch one of those, like the
Meineke Car Care Bowl.
Right.
You can tell real easy who wants to be there and who doesn't.
Yes. That's exactly it. And I mean, look, I get the idea of it's not a quit issue because clearly I think they're still showing effort. They're all saying the right things. There's not a Ja'Marr Chase issue. Like when Ja'Marr Chase talks about Zach Taylor and he's like, hey, I don't call plays, guys. You can't put this on me. There's not that sort of issue at all. And so I get that. I think the thing people are wanting to know about is why in the world Trey Lance isn't making an appearance in this game. In fact, last night, this is cut 9, Chris. This is Mike McCarthy talking about having some regrets about not playing Trey Lance.
Yeah, I really just didn't want to get into, you know, putting him in for a play or two. I mean, there's definitely, you know, because he's more than, you know, a gadget player, in my opinion. So we had him prepared to take a series. And frankly, there at the end, I should have gave him that series. And I regret not doing that.
Look, that's under your power, though, is the thing. And I get to say he regrets it, but we were told they had packages in there and that he was going to be used, and then it never happened.
Yeah. That was disappointing, not seeing him. Absolutely not seeing him.
We're still standing by for Jerry Jones, by the way. For those of you wondering, we will have him here in mere moments, just a couple minutes.
So let's hear
from Jerry.
Let's hear from Jerry right now. Let's cut 13, Chris. Jerry talking about body language on the sideline.
No, but you wouldn't be human if you get out there and you're not playing well, you as an individual or you as a team, and then you're also playing against people that are playing a lot better than you are. And I think it's real rare when somebody looks like they've cleaned the bases out with a grand slam home run or something. No, I understand body language, but that's part of it. We have to gather it back up and go out there and play.
Body language is one of those interesting things to me because, like, some people just have blah body language anyway. Some people are always upbeat.
Sure.
And you could never tell the truth. But then you have everybody else who's the normal, and you could tell their highs and their lows.
Yeah, like, I can't tell with you. You've got a very even...
Yeah, that's by design.
Now, maybe you're even all the time in general, but if there's anything simmering underneath or a high or a low underneath, I wouldn't know. Whereas for me, Chop...
Oh, I can tell.
You don't have to guess.
No.
In fact, it's not even like a, do I have to read this? It's me telling you, hey, come here. I want to tell you how I feel, even though you haven't even asked for it.
You don't have to.
Exactly.
I see you have...
You just see the imprint of the sausage McGriddle on the window.
You have glossed over eyes. Bobby gets angry. His eyes get all kind of like glassy and everything. And
it does get a little like,
yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
like,
it does. It really does
feel a little bit like the rage teenager.
Yeah.
Like just the frustrated teenager who's not sure about where all these hormones are coming from and everything else. That exists for me. So.
And you know, like it's like you said, I mean, everybody is different. So body language is always a tough one to decipher. But if you know the person, you do know. Like we don't know. I don't know what the body language for, you know.
Other than what we just see during the practice week or on the playing field.
But,
yeah, 100%.
I mean, just Wanya Thomas. I don't know what Wanya Thomas's body language is. I think I have a better idea of what Micah Parsons
or CD. Yeah, guys
somebody
like that.
Somebody you see every – you see Mike – I mean, the CD the camera's always on CD Lamb on the sideline. It's always on Dak and Micah Parsons on the sideline. You know what their body language is. You might not know what the body language is of somebody that you don't actually even know who they are.
Right.
Like you wouldn't recognize their face if you saw them.
Right.
And that comes into it. So still waiting on Jerry Jones here, and I think we're going to get him here in a second.
Just momentarily here. But no, I will say that that seems to be the idea that the Cowboys are basically pushing forward right now is that they feel like that's not an issue for them, is the effort and the quit. And I don't think that is either. I think there's a much greater issue with the you know, attention to detail stuff and some of the execution. That's clearly been the problem more than I think quit has.
Yeah. All right. It is time now for the owner and general manager of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones. Join us here on 105 Through the Fan, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Good morning, Jerry. How are we doing today?
Morning, RJ. Bobby, good to be on with you.
Good to be have you here, man. Fifth straight loss. I can't believe I just manned the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, but whatever. Fifth straight loss, sixth straight at home. All of them have seen you guys behind by 20 points or more. What was your biggest takeaway from last night?
Well, I thought that we we probably are showing the injury results, the fact that we're we're staying pretty much in the ball game early. We were within striking distance there as we went in at halftime, albeit had to do with a big play by Turpin and Rush. But when you see us have the issues in the second half that we're having, then that really speaks to our depth. That speaks to the toll that that we're having with our injuries. That's when it really shows up. And to me, all teams have injury. Ours, of course, is showing up quite a bit. It's pretty obvious when you see Rush out there rather than Dak. But still, to me, the reason that we're not able to come out consistently in the third quarter and get something going has to do with numbers. It has to do with, in this particular game, well, we were having some depletion in our players right during the game that impacted the game. At one time, I looked out there, and we had four of our five starting linemen that were on the sideline on the offense, and that'll take its toll, along with the fact that we're just not playing well. I thought Rush played better than he accounted for the previous game, but still it was far off the mark from what it took to beat a team that normally we should have been able to step up here and have a better accounting for.
Jerry, does those injuries impact how you do evaluate and how you will evaluate the coaching staff at the end of the year?
Yeah, you take into account all of the everything that was a plus and everything that was a minus. You know, I think that you would be have your head in the sand to think that anybody's pleased with what we're doing in terms of as you look to the future. And, of course, the reason the NFL, to me, one of the reasons that it has the interest and the popularity it's got is the parity aspect of it. And I've often had as a guideline, you should be able to go out and compete with the system we're in, the ability to, if you have a bad season, the ability to rebound by getting the best players, whether they be on the waiver wire, whether they be in the draft. That should have a team that walks out there and is 50-50 competitive. When you see a drop below that, then you've got to take a lot of that in consideration.
Jerry, a couple big plays from last night that got a lot of discussion. There was the failed fourth down conversion where you guys decided to go for it inside the 10 and didn't get it. That, you know, left the points on the board there, the field goal. And then there was the fake punt that turned into a, you know, turnover on downs and gave Houston the ball in a short field. Did you have any issue with either one of those or did you feel okay with both of those?
No, I thought that the fake punt took the air out of us. The reason you try the fake punt is to get the equivalent of a turnover and reverse the fact that you're having to punt, obviously. And when it doesn't work, it'll take some air out of you, always does. When it works, it gives you a lift. We've tried it twice. It didn't work. And that one has some unique aspects to it, whether the punter calls off the fake punt or not. Those are some of the nuances of the play, and it hadn't worked for us, and it was unfortunate. But as far as taking issue with you, I have issue with any of them that didn't work. I'd rather have had the field goal when we got back in there and couldn't get points. I'd rather have had the three, and everybody else would have too, but I understood why we took it off. But, you know, that old adage, don't take points off the board, it can bite you.
Jerry, you mentioned, you know, you guys had a number of injuries last night. I mean, a number of injuries coming into the game, but you left with several others. You know, Zach Martin, Tyler Smith, Jake Ferguson, all guys that had injuries. Any major specific concerns for the long term coming out of last night's game, or are you still evaluating where some of those are?
No, I'm a little concerned with Ferguson. That was pretty obvious after the game, and we'll have to evaluate that. Those concussions are, as you well know, are an evaluation thing in the ensuing days. So you can look at that one. I was just flabbergasted when we lost the offensive lineman that we did. And it really got real obvious. Houston knew it. They put their ears back, and boy, here they come. And took advantage of the fact that we were in there with that kind of crew. One of the things that has been a real handicap for us is that by having a young offensive line, apparently the nuances of making the calls and having more than one, let's say, rookie up there at the same time, that making the call and that coordination that goes on there, and boy, those guys are a team within a team. They're coordinating there all the time, making their calls. Everybody does it. We're not doing a very good job of it, and it's telling. That's been one of the surprises of the year, is that we're not getting the coordinated play in the offensive line. You can blame it on youth, but you can blame it on youth because we've got some good talent up there.
Jerry, you mentioned there some of the communication along the offensive line, especially with having two young players up there, two rookies. Tyler Guyton has struggled a great deal lately. Mike McCarthy mentioned last night that he didn't want Guyton to try to run with that fumble, that they coach, hey, you need to get down. And of course, that turned into another turnover and a touchdown. Has there been any consideration to making a change at left tackle and going with a more veteran player?
No. We've played Guyton with his availability in mind. He's been nicked. I've been nicked up a little bit, but frankly, where the calls make the most difference is in the interior, the guards in the center. But still, I know that Guyton obviously would like to have that one back and just drop down on the ball. But, boy, you give an offensive lineman a chance to get something and get a hold of that ball and do something with it, he'll take advantage of it, and that's what he did. That was a play that, frankly, I think marked the last five games as much as anything, is the is just the nuances of how that ended up happening. There we go with a score against us, but you can't win like that.
Jerry Jones joined us here on 105 Through the Fan. Do you think it's time to switch to Trey Lance as the quarterback? Would you like to see him?
Well, I don't know that. I thought Rush actually had improvement last night from the game before. He didn't have far to go to get improvement, but I did think he had improvement. And frankly, there were times in that ball game that I thought it was really coming to him. And we know that we've got limited time to work with these quarterbacks at this particular time, and I would look for us to stay with the experience.
So does his lack of playing time signify that there may have been a misevaluation in where he is?
You're talking about...
With the trade.
Cooper Rush or Trey Lance?
With Trey.
No. We knew exactly where Trey Lance was when he left San Francisco. He was, fourth, fifth pick in the draft. We knew he hadn't played much football. He has improved dramatically. You've got to get out there and you've got to play. We have thought it was just too important for us to have him at rookie quarterback in these last two ball games, because we need to win to that degree and give ourselves every chance we can. We hadn't gotten to the point that we were basically looking to evaluate Trey Lance more at all. And so that's where we are. I know where a fourth-round pick is, and I've seen him good, and I've seen Dak Prescott's a fourth-round pick. But I've seen a lot of fourth-round picks that didn't work out, too. So have really worked with Trey. We have evaluated Trey. We'll see what the future brings here over the next few weeks. But I'm satisfied where we are.
Jerry, you mentioned last night that some of the stuff that worries you, you're less worried about quitting, that you don't see that right now with the team, but you're worried more about execution and communication problems. Are those problems a shared responsibility of your players and your coaches, or is that something that you feel that the players have to shoulder themselves?
Well, I think that everybody's got a responsibility here. We've got 32 coaches, and that's three coaches for every guy out on the football field. And so we've got it covered now in terms of numbers playing ball. But of course, at this level, players that have really with that are compensated like they're compensated, these are rare people who are out on that football field. You've heard me say before of the 75,000 that are playing college football this right now, this year, they're ultimately within 2 years after their classes graduate, there won't be but about 150 a year stick in the NFL. These guys are great athletes. They've generally, they've usually made the most of their athletic abilities. They know what they're out there for. Their compensation can change their lives of everybody they love and everybody they're going to love in their lives if they get in and take advantage of it. You don't have to worry about them all in on any situation.
Jerry, given some of those problems with execution and communication, things like that, do you have any concerns at all that Mike might be spread a little too thin with the play calling duties?
That's always the issue. Do you want a walk around head coach, or do you want one that's really in front of the team and everybody put an emphasis with his time on one side of the ball or the other, and does the walk around too? You get it both ways. You've seen it done successfully both ways. I've always thought that the coach that was actually making the call gained on credibility in front of the team, but a lot of people look at it differently. We've done it both ways, and that's always the issue, is that you're not having the wins you have, they say, well, the coach just needs more time to be moving around the entire team. I've seen Mike do it both ways. He did it both ways before he came here at different times. And last year, I thought we'd really hit on something. He went over there and was head coach and full-time coordinator, and led the league or right there in terms of offense last year. So it is done both ways. It works both ways. I've had it done with the coaches that I've been involved with. I've had it done that way and with success, either way.
Do you think this coaching staff gives you an advantage, a coaching advantage week to week?
Well, I would say this. Our competition has they pay their guys too. And but that's a fair question. And I know how hard this staff works. And I think there's some outstanding coaches on this staff. And you can believe that they've got many ways to come in and make adjustments to try to improve where we are, and they'll be doing that continually.
Jerry Jones joining us here at 105 through the Fan. There were quite a few empty seats at the game. There were quite a few Texan fans there. There were Cowboy fans. There were bags over their head. What message does that send to you? Do you take that as a statement that they want change?
I've seen that with not just, you know, I've seen it with most teams. And I think that certainly our fans are avid. They wouldn't be out there if they weren't avid. And I'm disappointed that we're bringing the team that we are to the field, and we've got to improve on that. That's not acceptable. You know, over the last, you've heard me say this, but it's factual. Since the Super Bowl years that on a personal basis I was involved in, since those years, counting about 30 years or 25 years, we've been the sixth winningest team in the NFL. In the last 15 years, we're the fifth winningest team in the NFL. We haven't been to the championship playoff game. We haven't been to a Super Bowl, but we've been around that rim, and we've been up there with the best of them. We've had the whole gambit of experiences with our coaches, coaching staff, and sometimes it has worked. Sometimes it didn't work as well as we'd hoped for it to. Rest assured, we'll be figuring out ways to look for what we're doing wrong and improve on that.
Jerry, you guys, a quick league question for you here. You guys had the Paul Tyson fight at AT&T Stadium this weekend, and there were a lot of issues with the streaming broadcast on Netflix. The NFL is going to have games on there next month on Netflix. Is there any concern within the league about Netflix's ability to handle the audience, the NFL audience on their streaming platform?
Not other than the obvious. That was an audience that the number of viewers got up there with Super Bowl numbers. It wasn't but a couple of years ago, I recall, that when we exceeded, I think the number was around 15, 16, 17 million, and that might have been within the last year or two, that you dared think about numbers. What would happen if you tried to serve that much audience? And so, frankly, this is a real attaboy to streaming. And I think that game did do just that, and that is give Netflix the template of what to do, how to adjust as far as our Christmas games are coming. But make no mistake about it, anybody that just a year or two back that didn't know what was going to happen if you got 12 million people viewing at the same time streaming. Now then, we're sitting here looking at audiences that approach 60, 80 million people. So in that sense, it was real positive. Yeah, they'll get in and work the kinks out of the kinds of things that they were dealing with the other night. And I don't believe there's any doubt that streaming is a medium that you're going to see a lot of football games presented and have the opportunity to see a lot of football games and the opportunity for leagues to use streaming.
Hey, Jerry, we really appreciate you popping on. I know we usually have you 2 days after the game, so having you 12 hours after is...
Well, I wish I had more information for you, like a injury report or those type of things, but obviously we're hours from it, and I've got a meeting in New York in about 10 hours, 6 hours, something like that. So it's business as usual, but, boy, this is a serious disappointment. Make no mistake about it, but... don't get me wrong, I know there's no sympathy out here for what we're into. This is not the world's smallest violin you're seeing this morning sitting here at the table. But the bottom line is that we've got to get better. We will get better. There are better days ahead.
Thank you, Jerry. Have a good day.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Jerry Jones, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. We react to that coming up next here on Sean and RJ on 105 Through the Fan.